there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast with Mike Tagliere, and I'm Bobby Sylvester. And congrats if you did make it this far in your fantasy football playoffs, Final Four, here we are. Tags, I'm pulling for you to win tonight so we can play each other in the semis next week, man.
Yeah, no, it's going to take a miracle. I am going against Tom Brady, and I have Jarvis Landry left. I am currently up, I think, by 2 points in our Fantasy Pros League, so I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, I'm hoping, because I do know that Tom Brady struggles a little bit without Gronkowski over the last couple years, so I'm rooting for a Brady, a lower game, but I doubt it. I mean, it's primetime Brady. How lucky can I really get?
I don't know, man. Remember my bold prediction last week? I have the Dolphins winning this game outright. So if that happens, you've actually got a chance, and it'll be fun if we play against each other. Our guest today is Justin Boone of thescore.com. He's currently the third most accurate expert out of well over 100 this season in our expert accuracy competition. And it's really no fluke. He's been at the top tier for years now. You can find Justin on Twitter at Justin Boone. That's no spaces. Justin Boone on Twitter. Justin, how's it going?
It's going great. Like you said, back near the top, which is very exciting, hoping that maybe I can close the ground and get to first this year. But, you know, winter's here. Fantasy playoffs are here. There's a ton going on and a ton we have to talk about today. Right off the bat, I imagine we're going to talk about at least one very serious injury that happened.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there were a lot of serious injuries that happened. I mean, first of all, you've got Tom Savage out there literally having a seizure on the field and going back into the game. That doesn't really change anything for fantasy purposes, but I mean, that's really scary. It's not quite as much as a Ryan Shazier from last week, but this is a big deal, guys.
I think it's a bigger deal. I thought you were making fun of it. I thought you were just going to go right from the Savage thing into Carson Wentz with the year-ending ACL injury. But the whole Savage thing, the NFL is going to have to handle that. Apparently, it's the second time that he's been put back into a game after suffering what seemed to be an obvious concussion. So it really, I just don't know how that stuff happens, especially considering all the emphasis they've put on that and the hits and having a video team look at this stuff, look at the replays. Anybody who was watching that game, I mean, my 14-year-old daughter was watching that game with me, and she's like, oh, that doesn't look good, he's probably hurt, right? And then she sees him go back in the game a little bit later. So it's really sad that happened, but Carson Wentz, that's the injury news that I think everybody's waiting to hear the reaction from. It's crushing to the Eagles, Bobby. I don't know if you've given any thought to what this does throughout everybody else in the offense, but they're going to be playing the Giants this week with Nick Foles under center. How do you feel about guys like Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Agholor?
Well, I mean, they obviously take a drop here, right? But Nick Foles is going to be the chalk this week in cash games for DFS. I'm not saying that you can play him in your fantasy football playoffs, but I think he's going to be just fine. Nick Foles is a professional. He's in a good offense, and I think they'll be just fine. Like, Alshon is usually, what, 12 to 15 in the rankings? He'll probably be 15 to 20, but I'm not too worried about him. He's still a must-start.
Well, the matchup against the Giants definitely helps. Justin, what about you? Are you concerned about this? The one thing I will say that I noted when starting to go through their game this week against the Giants is that Zach Ertz has actually already played with Nick Foles for two seasons in 2013 and 2014, which were the first 2 years of his career. So they have rapport. So he's someone that I'm really not trying to knock down so much in my rankings, knowing that the Giants allow so much to the tight end. But I'm really concerned about Alshon and especially Nelson Agholor. I think Alshon's going to be a play, but I'm worried. Are you worried?
I mean, right off the bat, I'm a little worried that I'm responsible for some of these big injuries, because I feel like every time I'm on with you guys, some massive injury just happened, whether it was, you know, Odell Beckham or David Johnson or any one of the ones that's happened this year. And we just thought we were getting Aaron Rodgers back, and now we've lost Carson Wentz. So it seems like we can't win, but, you know, I agree with you. It is crushing for the Eagles. And, you know, even if Nick Foles can come in and give you 70% or 80% of what Carson Wentz is doing, and I don't mean to disparage Nick Foles at all, but Wentz was playing at an absolutely elite level this season. We saw it. That offense was just humming.
Was he the MVP?
I would probably say so, yeah, yes. At that point, especially the way he was looking in that game before he went out. Another phenomenal performance for him against a good team and a good defense. So, yes, I agree with Bobby. I think Alshon Jeffrey, you know, we're taking him from, you know, he was in that 10 to 15 range most weeks. He's going to drop to a low-end wide receiver 2, maybe even a high-end wide receiver 3 in my books. You know, looking at Nelson Agholor, he becomes even more volatile than, you know, he has been recently. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at him more as a wide receiver 4 now. And Ertz is the one where, assuming we get him back this week, I think Ertz is the one that he does lose some of his, you know, high-end appeal, but it's going to be awfully tough to move him out of the top 6, the top 7 tight ends with the way that position is. So I have a feeling he's going to stick in that range. You know, we're just not going to see that passing game operating at as high of a level. But Ertz is probably the one that is going to suffer the least, I would guess. I think the one place where we might see a boost is actually going to be, you know, in the running game. And I think there's a chance here for, you know, Jay Ajayi. You know, we've kind of been waiting, you know, are the Eagles really going to start to lean on him at some point? You know, Ajayi's been playing pretty well since he got to Philadelphia. The numbers people might not realize, but he's breaking a lot of tackles. The real issue has really just been volume. He's not getting the volume he was getting when he was in Miami to be that consistent fantasy option. So I think we're going to start to see his touches sneak up probably as they try to lean on the running game more. And as they recognize, the coaching staff isn't foolish here. I think they're going to realize Ajayi is the best back on that team. I feel like we can all agree on that. You know, and I think they're going to have to lean on him now. We've seen his carries increase over the last 3 weeks. You know, and he had 15 on Sunday in that win. And that's his most since joining the Eagles. So, you know, they get the Giants in week 15, like you guys mentioned, you know, and the Giants haven't really been great this year. They haven't really, you know, reached the level I think everyone maybe thought that defense would be at, or that team as a whole. And they've allowed a running back to top 100 yards from scrimmage in each of their last 3 games. So, you know, even if you're looking a little further ahead, and I try not to do that in the fantasy playoffs, because I try to remind everybody, just get the win this week, pick up the guys you need to get the win this week, and then deal with next week if you make it to the championship. But, you know, week 16, he does get the Raiders as well, and the Raiders just let Kareem Hunt get back on track against them. So it's a couple good matchups, assuming that the Eagles do start to lean on Ajayi a little more.
For sure. And I mean, I love that in terms of what the Giants have been allowing, and the game script should work in the favor of the Eagles running backs. Odds makers obviously feel that the Eagles are still a heavy favorite. Even with Wentz out for this game, the line sits at 8. Philly is favored by 8 at home or on the road here, which is kind of crazy. So you have to assume that everything should line up for another big game. And by the way, Jay Ajayi snaps over the last 4 weeks, starting back in week 10 was or week 11, 13 snaps, then 22, then 31, then 43 this past week. Now, there was a lot of snaps played in this game, but at the same time, it's good to see his numbers going up as we can start to get a little bit more comfortable in the fact that the Giants have been struggling as of late. They have allowed 109 or more rushing yards in 5 of their last 6 games to opponents. So this is definitely a matchup where we should at least be able to start Jay Ajayi as an RB3.
For sure. Yeah, I absolutely agree there. I'm wondering, though, if Zach Ertz even comes back for this game. And if he doesn't, I mean, going up against the Giants, I think Trey Burton might be a top 5 pickup this week.
I don't I would assume that he comes back. It's very rare that players miss multiple weeks from concussions unless they have a history of them. And as far as I know with Ertz, he doesn't have like a bad history of concussions. So they were questioning his play. Like, he still apparently had a shot to get cleared on Sunday morning, which seemed really odd. I didn't expect him to play, but I do think he comes back this week. And I don't think it's like Burton obviously was good with Wentz, but I think we all need to take a step back and assume that this offense has a lot less scoring opportunities, which is why, you know, Justin, you mentioned that, saying that Evan Engram loses some of that, or Zach Ertz loses some of that top end appeal, just because they're not going to have as many scoring opportunities. He's not going to be throwing, 37 touchdowns in 13 games, which is just ridiculous out of Wentz this year. So yeah, I definitely move him down my board, and Burton would be a solid fill-in because it's the Giants, but temper expectations a little bit.
I'm pretty sure Nick Foles has a better career year than Carson Wentz has, right? I mean, 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. That was really, really good. I'm not saying he's Carson Wentz. I'm just saying, like, Nick Foles is a pretty good player.
He's been okay since then. If you go back and look at that time period, that's when the Eagles were taken over by Chip Kelly. That's when the offense was like legitimately rolling. They went from the worst offense in the league to the best offense in the league overnight. Nick Foles took over that offense. He looked phenomenal doing it. But ever since then, he's been very mediocre. He's completed less than 60% of his passes over the last 4 years and thrown 23 touchdowns to 20 interceptions. So I believe he's just a very average quarterback. I do think that he can get the job done if the offensive line was blocking. But again, we're starting to see the effects of them losing Jason Peters, their starting left tackle, their Pro Bowl left tackle, losing him. I think we've started to see the effect of that on the offense. And I think it's an underrated aspect of Carson Wentz's game is his escapability. He is so good at manipulating the pocket, stepping up into it, not getting cold feet, all those things. I just don't know if Nick Foles can do exactly what Carson Wentz has been doing.
He moves like a giraffe. It's not very pretty, but yeah, I think the Eagles will be all right. Actually, I think they are still Super Bowl contenders too. I still have them in my top five. I love Carson Wentz, but that entire team is just playing fantastic football. So there are two other injuries we have to talk about. Josh McCown did break his hand. That's probably going to affect Robbie Anderson. And then Alvin Kamara was out for the last three quarters as well. I don't know if he's going to play this week, which could kill some people in fantasy.
I think he's going to play. He's got the whole 10 days to recover from the concussion, so that's obviously a big, you know, time window to do it. Most players can get cleared within that week, but having the extra couple days is definitely going to help him in time to get cleared. The Robbie Anderson one is the more interesting one. I think it's severely going to affect him. It's hard to say that Robbie Anderson is someone that I'd want to play in fantasy football without Josh McCown. Those two just seem to be on the exact same page. Justin, what's your take on the McCown injury and all of this, and basically how it rolls down into Jermaine Kearse and Robbie Anderson?
Yeah, I really don't want to start any of those guys this week. That Jets offense, I mean, at the beginning of the season, we weren't really interested in them that much. All of a sudden, you know, McCown came on. They really proved themselves, and it took a while. I will admit, it took a while for them to win me over. But Anderson definitely was a guy that you had to have in your lineup at this point, and I don't think that's the case anymore. Really, when you're looking at it fantasy-wise now, I want whatever defense is going up against the Jets, and this week, you know, that's going to be the Saints D. You know, I think they're going to be very highly picked up this week, and they should be played because Bryce Petty is just, you know, not someone that you want to be starting in fantasy, obviously. Someone you definitely want your defense going up against, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And on top of that, the hamstring that Robbie Anderson was dealing with, I had a few people, including some friends, instant message me on Facebook. People I haven't talked to in years, by the way, is asking me who to start, like Robbie Anderson or Doug Baldwin. And I ended up saying Robbie Anderson was someone that they should bench because of the hamstring injury, the nature of the matchup against the Broncos. And then this week, they're playing against the Saints. Marshawn Lattimore is going to cover Robbie Anderson. So honestly, I'm okay with sitting him. We're obviously going to talk about that more in the week, but this definitely has a bad trickle-down effect for the pass catchers in New York.
I mean, you saw how bad it can be for the Jets. You know, they just got shut out. They gave up 4 sacks. It's not going to get any better with Bryce Petty under there full-time.
Yeah.
Correct.
There's two other guys I want to touch on very briefly. Leonard Fournette was involved in that scuffle at the end. He went into it and gave a cheap shot to someone in the head. Frankly, I would not be surprised if he suspended this game. Like, I'd probably give it a 15 or 20% chance. So if you're a Fournette owner, keep an eye out for that. Because you might need a running back this week.
I don't know. So the cheap shot thing, I don't think it was a cheap shot. I think it was him. It was a cheap shot on Michael Bennett to start. That was an ugly situation. It reminded me of Ron Artest when that whole thing happened in the NBA. But Michael Bennett took a dive at the center's knees on the Jags offensive line, forcing Fournette to go over to him and shove him. And another
it was
guy
like
then,
the fourth dirty play in a row, too, by the way.
And that's the thing. It was extremely dirty on the Seahawks part. That was some ugly, ugly stuff that happened. And then I don't even want to talk about it, but I don't think Fournette should get suspended. If he does, I would be extremely surprised.
Okay.
It's really tough to guess at these things too, right? After AJ Green sort of choke slammed Jalen Ramsey, it's pretty tough to guess at what's going to happen, who's going to be suspended and who isn't on these. You know, I don't think that there's even been like the public outcry, which sometimes pushes the NFL to do some of this stuff. I haven't heard that many people talking about the Fournette one, so I would be really surprised if he ends up getting suspended for that.
Can you believe this? Michael Bennett, Seattle Man of the Year. That is so ridiculous. And, you know, the common denominator here is the Jags just whooping on everybody and then everyone being crybabies and doing dirty tricks and stuff.
What he was trying to go after the ball. He should have just dove straight and went right between his legs, you know, like that move as opposed to being anywhere near his knees.
Mm-hmm. It was a dirty play. Everybody knows the game's
over. You shouldn't do that. Yeah.
Honestly, when there's a chance that a team can kneel on it, they shouldn't even do the play. I mean, it just asking for stuff like that to happen. And it was ugly. And the whole thing with the fan on the sideline, that was even worse.
Yeah, that sucks.
That's what came close to the mouse in the palace for sure, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
On a more positive note, we do have to mention that I was right about Brandon LaFell being better than AJ Green, right, Tex?
When he caught a touchdown, I was dying inside a little bit. And I must admit
Twitter went nuts, man. I was so pumped up. Like, 10,000 people, the president tweeted at me about Brandon LaFell scoring a touchdown. And I was just thinking, you know, I was hoping that Andy Behrens was listening in.
Oh, man. Too bad he only caught 3 passes for 24 yards. But yes, you were indeed correct. He did score a touchdown. I don't think he lived up to the startable and DFS standard that you set. But yeah,
I didn't say startable in cash games. I said he was a solid GPP play. And he wasn't. So basically, I was wrong.
Well, that's what I was saying. But it was still, he did score a touchdown. So I can't take that away from you. Definitely can't take it away from you.
So, Bobby, start Brandon LaFell over AJ Green the rest of the way then? Or
Nope. Not even close. Are you
just cashing out his chips?
Definitely not.
So, guys, we do have to talk about this waiver wire, as terrible as it is. I actually didn't think it was the worst waiver wire ever, but before the show, we were talking, and Tags and Justin think this is just the worst ever. Like, maybe we shouldn't even have a show. It's that bad.
It's all about streamers. Yeah, right. It's about streamers and what they can do for you this week. That's about it.
That's right. I mean, that's the point where we are in the season. If you have any fab, you got to spend it. You're only spending on streamers, or maybe if you've already got your starting lineup in place, you can drop some of your bench guys for people next week. But for me, I mean, this is how bad the waiver wire situation is. For me, the top waiver wire pickup of the week is a defense. I think it's the Tennessee Titans, who have 20 sacks in the last 3 weeks. They haven't given up 20 points in any of those 3 weeks. And they get San Francisco, who look, I mean, Jimmy G is solid. He's elevating the offense, but you'd be crazy to say they're not a bottom 10 offense in the NFL right now. So I think the Titans are gimme for top 5 this week.
I think Justin already hit on the defense of the week that you could pick up. And I think, I mean, for me, I did the featured pros for the website this week. And it's easily the Saints against the Jets. I mean, right. They're only like 37% owned, I think. So the Saints are widely available for whatever reason with Marshawn Lattimore back there. They have to be the defense of the week, right, Justin?
I think so. I have the Saints as my top pickup defense-wise. I also think the Bills are a pretty good pickup. They're going to be at home against Miami. The Dolphins are giving up the fourth most fantasy points to opposing defenses. So that seems like a pretty good matchup there that I think. And I think you definitely, I would grab those two before I would go after the Titans. The Titans, the only thing that would worry me is the upside that Garoppolo has shown. You know, that offense is getting better. So while they are still probably one of the, you know, bottom 10 offenses in the league, there is some upside there. We could see them, you know, have a big week. They could surprise. And the way to attack the Titans is through the air. And I think Garoppolo could help them do that.
Yeah, for sure. So, Bobby, do you want to start with quarterbacks? Honestly, I would say it's the most important position with a lot of fantasy owners out there that have made it very far in the fantasy playoffs that might be without a quarterback right now. So should we start there?
I guess we should. I mean, it's really important right now. we're probably talking about at least one team in every league in the Final Four needs a quarterback this week. You've got Aaron Rodgers coming back, so maybe that's not the case. Hopefully someone stashed him. Do you think he's startable, by the way, Aaron Rodgers?
Has to be, right?
Yeah, I mean, think so too. It's not a good matchup.
You can throw him back in there. It's not, but it's Rodgers. I mean, you know, even you know the elite guys, even when you knock them down, you're only knocking them down to sort of low-end quarterback one range, so that's still going to be startable in most leagues.
And the season is on the line. I mean, I guess Aaron Rodgers might not play. He still has to get checked out and everything, but apparently he's looked tremendous in practice. And with the season on the line, I can't wait to see this version of Aaron Rodgers. In fact, he's probably my number one QB this week.
Yeah, they're saying that he looks fantastic. He looks better than ever in practice, they're saying. But I guess the only thing that about being cleared isn't how he can throw the ball. It comes down to the screws and like the what they put into his shoulder and the fact of like a pain tolerance up there. If he were to take a massive hit up there, that's what it's going to come down to. But keep in mind, guys, the Carolina defense, Keenum, 280-2, Breeze, 269-1, McCown, 307-3. Then you go back to before their bye week against Cutler and Matt Ryan, allowed a couple touchdowns to each of those guys. Aaron Rodgers, there's been two games where he's returned from injury in his career. He's thrown for 318 yards and two touchdowns, and the other game was 404 yards and four touchdowns. So don't worry about Aaron Rodgers being cold coming off of his injury, because he's going to come out guns blazing and against a Panthers defense maybe at the right time.
Man, he is so good. So, okay, we're going from Aaron Rodgers to now Blake Bortles and Joe Flacco, who are going to be started this week in the semifinals, because Blake Bortles has three straight games of 20-plus fantasy points. He is rolling right now, and now he gets the Houston Texans. And then Joe Flacco, he's Joe Flacco, but he goes up against Cleveland. So what do you do here? Like, those are the two top guys, right? Even over Jimmy G?
Well, let's throw all four into the mix. Justin, how would you rank these top four options at quarterback? Like, let's pretend it's a real that you're sitting there, a Carson Wentz owner, and you have to pick up one of these quarterbacks right now. Who are you picking up between Bortles, Garoppolo, who's playing against Tennessee's secondary that's not very good. Their run defense is a lot better than their pass defense. Joe Flacco against Cleveland, who just allowed three touchdowns to Brett Hundley, who we all know is bad at football. And then Nick Foles, who, I mean, he's Nick Foles, but it is a good matchup against the Giants.
I'm taking Bortles in that one. I want Bortles all the way there. And I never thought before the season, if you had told me I would be saying this in the semifinals, it's insane. This fantasy is crazy. But, you know, Bortles, 309 yards, two touchdowns a couple weeks ago, going up against the Seahawks. And obviously the Seahawks are not, you know, what the Seahawks normally are. There are, you know, some serious injuries there. But, 268, two touchdowns. He's coming on. He actually gets a really good matchup against the Texans, who are pretty solid against the run, but can definitely be had against the pass. And you have weapons for him now. You have Westbrook coming on. D.D. Westbrook, you know, looks really impressive. Eight or more targets in his last three games. You know, and we mentioned about, you know, focusing on week 15. Just focus on week 15. Bortles is probably going to have a good game against this Texans defense with those weapons. You know, Westbrook's playing with confidence. Heck, Bortles is playing with confidence right now. Some of the throws in that Seattle game were shocking to see from him. He was dropping it in there in tight windows. It was really great to see. For somebody like Westbrook, I was worried about, you know, Allen Hurns coming back, how that might throw off what was going on there. But I'm not so sure that even if Hurns comes back at this point that they're going to change it, because I think that trio right now that they have going with Cole and Westbrook and obviously Marquise Lee leading the way, it's been really good, and Bortles has been able to get a lot done with it.
You know, Blake Bortles is going to be a top 12 fantasy quarterback now for the third straight season.
I actually do think that. I have Bortles. I did my rest of season rankings this morning, and Blake Bortles came in at number 12 on my rest of season. So honestly, I view him as a starter in each of the last two games. Obviously, after this week, he's going to play against the 49ers. Again, not another scary matchup or anything like that. So I would use that as the tiebreaker when choosing between him and maybe Joe Flacco, who, by the way, Joe Flacco, his remaining schedule isn't all that bad either. He's going to go up against the Browns. It is in Cleveland, whatever, but then he's playing the Colts back at home. The only thing we have to be worried about with Flacco a little bit more is that he plays in some bad weather. He's going to Cleveland. He's going to be playing at home against Indianapolis, which is right before Christmas Day. So it's going to be very cold in Baltimore. That's why I would choose Bortles over Flacco. But if you're in a pinch, who would you guys choose this week between Flacco and Garoppolo? Let's pretend that Bortles is owned. Which one would you prefer?
I want Garoppolo. I like too. What I've seen from him. Obviously, helps any quarterback to have Kyle Shanahan behind you. It's a huge boost. And he's making the most of his weapons. We're seeing a lot of chemistry there with Goodwin.
Yep.
They've really been impressive. And, you know, as much as there's not names, there's some talent there. Garrett Celek, the tight end. You know, guys like Aldrick Robinson are making plays. We're seeing now, you know, when you have a legitimate quarterback prospect in that offense with Kyle Shanahan, what can happen? And I like Garoppolo, and I like the matchup this week, like I mentioned, with the Titans. He would be my number two behind Bortles.
Number two, okay.
Not overall, just at quarterback we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to make an announcement real quick before I forget, because I wanted to say at the beginning of the show, but I forgot. There are two Saturday football games this week. Do not be the owner in your league that leaves someone on the bench, that puts someone on the bench. Don't do that. Like set your lineup early in the week. You can always go back to change it, but make sure there's two Saturday games. The first one is the Bears at the Lions, and then you're going to have the Chargers at the Chiefs. So again, that's just a PSA for you guys, because a lot of people kind of forget this time of the year.
Very good call.
I made a kind of similar mistake here right before the show. So I went upstairs to get some water and stuff before the podcast, and I grabbed two cheese sticks, and then I ran out of time before the podcast started. So I've got these two cheese sticks sitting right next to me, and I'm hungry, and I keep looking at them thinking, man, these cheese sticks are getting ruined. So don't do that to your fantasy season.
Oh my God. That analogy. Kudos to you, Bobby. I give up officially.
I figure after the Brandon LaFell touchdown, I can just say whatever I want on this podcast, right?
Anything goes.
I'm legitimately sad about this. Like, I might have to throw them away. So that'd be a bummer.
Cheese sticks are okay, even if they're not as cold as they once were. But so are we in agreement then? Our order?
I agree. Joe Flacco's number two.
I have Garoppolo number two, but you guys both have Flacco number two, right?
I actually would prefer Garoppolo, because I'm still concerned about the weather. The weather can do anything in Cleveland. It's not a good place to play. I'd rather play Garoppolo playing against Tennessee. It's just, you don't have to worry about weather nearly as much in that game. So in my order, it would be Bortles, Garoppolo, Flacco, and then Foles. I don't want to start Nick Foles. I'm sorry. I can't do it.
I mean, he's just too risky. You don't know what you're going to get out of him. But I have Flacco just barely above Garoppolo, just because I think that Tennessee is a lot tougher, you know, rushing the quarterback and everything like that. So Garoppolo is going to be under pressure. So I think I trust Joe Flacco a little more to get 15, 16 points.
Well, yeah, I mean, over the last 2 weeks, which we joked about last week on the show, is I said that Joe Flacco had went to the coordinator and said, hey, look, we have to open up this offense. We have to do more. Otherwise, we're not going to have a chance of winning a Super Bowl. And ever since that time, he's thrown a little bit more. He's thrown and taken more shots down the field. He's thrown for 269 yards in each of the last two games with two touchdowns. So, I mean, it's looking good for Flacco. I'm not going to say that he's not an option. And that's the thing. If the weather in Cleveland is solid, Joe Flacco is going to be in my top 15 quarterbacks this week.
So we are going to move on to a new position here in just a second, but I want to take a word for the sponsor of today's show, Lisa Mattress. So I've been getting all kinds of emails from people who have bought these mattresses just saying, hey man, this is really as good as you advertised. And it's really cool to see like the people listening to our show supporting our sponsors. And we really appreciate that. I even had someone write in saying they had some issues with their sciatic nerve for about 15 years. And when they got their Lisa mattress, it has disappeared. Within a week, it disappeared, and it hasn't come back in months. And that's really cool to hear. Like, this mattress really is the most comfortable bed I've ever slept on. I don't have aches and pains when I wake up in the morning, and I hope the same is true for you. America loves Lisa mattresses. It was the fastest growing e-retailer in 2015 because they found out how comfortable their mattresses were and told all their friends, all their family, you can try it for yourself because they offer everyone 100 nights risk-free and with free shipping. We've got a promo code for you if you want. If you want to save $100 off your order, just go to lisa.com/fantasypros. That's LEESA.com/fantasypros. For $100 off your mattress order. Okay, guys, so let's talk tight end here. And I'm not so sure that anyone's going to need to pick up a tight end, but if you've been one of these guys who's streaming a tight end every single week, I think you go Eric Ebron now after getting 10 receptions last week against the toughest defense in the league against tight ends.
I think it was a really nice performance by Ebron, but he's just been so inconsistent this year. Like, are you really going to trust him this week? I know, you know, he's been able to put up 30, 40 yards. You know, he hasn't really gotten to the end zone that much. You know, that target total is way higher than he's been seeing recently. I have a hard time believing that he is going to continue to see that. I think it's a bit of a risk going with Ebron there.
Ebron is a little bit risky. He has, it's odd, and it doesn't sound like it's great, but he's totaled at least 34 yards in each of the last seven games since their bye week. We know that the Lions, teams were approaching them about trading for Eric Ebron. They didn't want to trade him away, so they've been using him a little bit more. I mean, again, it's nothing like you've seen this past week. I would almost consider that a breakout performance, but knowing that he's going against the Bears this week, the Bears haven't been a particular defense that you would target when streaming. Ebron played against them back in, it was a couple weeks ago. He totaled 4 catches for 49 yards. So it wasn't anything to write home about. I mean, I'm taking it as is. It all depends on who's on your waiver wire. I do think that Ebron is, for me, he's going to be considered a high floor number two tight end. And if you need to stream him, I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't know if I'd be aiming for him, though.
Justin, would you rather pick up like Ben Watson, who has a great matchup this weekend?
I actually would go with Ricky Seals-Jones or even O.J. Howard, believe it or not, above Ebron. I think the other problem with Ebron that I think is just the amount of weapons that are in that offense, that in any given week, Golden Tate, Marvin Jones, you know, even Kenny Golladay, you know, we're seeing Theo Riddick be used even more. And obviously he's used in the passing game so much that I just can't trust that the volume is going to be there for Ebron. Now, it seems hilarious. I'm going to turn and now say play Ricky Seals-Jones, obviously, who, you know, hasn't been seeing that much volume either. You know, but that was his first really bad game this past week where he had 20 yards. He's getting the Redskins in week 15. I really like that matchup. The best way to attack the Redskins is in the middle of the field. You know, most recently we saw the Chargers get after them with Hunter Henry and Keenan Allen, a whole bunch, you know, and it isn't a Giants style tight end streak from earlier in the season, but Washington's given up touchdowns to tight ends in 8 of their last 11 games. So that's another great matchup. You know, with Seals-Jones, he has a low floor as well. And I think Ebron also, in my mind, has a low floor, like we saw last week for Seals-Jones, sorry. But, you know, I think he is one of the better streaming options. I think we're going to see another pop-off spot for him here.
Yeah, it's Bobby, it's weird because we talked about Cameron Brate last week and the fact that Ryan Fitzpatrick was back. And I mentioned that he did play a season low in snaps, 42% last week. But now this week, he actually went down again. He ran a season low 19 pass routes. He only played 35% of the snaps. Meanwhile, OJ Howard is like starting to emerge as their top tier tight end. Over the last 2 weeks, he's played 111 snaps compared to the 57 for Cameron Brate. I know he was blocking a lot more earlier in the year, but it seems like they want him to be that primary passing option. So OJ Howard, Ricky Seals-Jones, and Eric Ebron, for me, they're all in the same exact tier. It's a preference thing about matchup, and Ricky Seals-Jones, as Justin mentioned, he's got a really, really good matchup this week. So I wouldn't have any issue. I wouldn't have any issue streaming Ebron or Seals-Jones. Howard is like someone I still want him to prove it to me a little bit, because I think that Brate is going to be involved. I think they each have 6 targets over the last 2 weeks. So Howard is someone that you can use in a pinch, though.
Watson has the best matchup of them all against Cleveland, right?
And Watson's not good.
Are you really going to play a guy? Watson didn't even have a catch in this last game, I don't think. So I don't know if I would feel confident going with him next week. For Howard, one of the things, tags to mention too, 50 yards in 3 of his last 4 games. Now, I made a friendly bet before the season where I thought Cameron Brate would finish with more fantasy points than OJ Howard. So I really would like to see Brate continue to do it. But you just see Howard coming on more, and with their season lost, with the Bucs' season lost, it only makes sense for them to play Howard more and get the rookie tight end more reps.
Yeah, it sounds like Dirk Cutter he's going to lose his job, it seems. That's what the rumor is around Tampa Bay. That's what I heard on Sunday.
Only a matter of time.
Yeah.
So if you need a running back here, I mean, you're in big trouble if you do need a running back, but Peyton Barber sitting there, he's still getting double-digit carries, right? I'd spend maybe $1 on him because, you know, he's not that much better than the replacement-level player on free agents right now. Rod Smith had a great game, but are you going to expect it back-to-back weeks, Tags? I'm assuming that's your number one guy?
No, he's not. I've moved on because this is the last week before Ezekiel Elliott comes back, and if Rod Smith wasn't handed the starter gig by now, he's not going to get it next week, so Rod Smith is actually my number 4 running back. Barber is number 1 right now, but it's something to pay attention to because the Bucs, if they continue to say that Doug Martin's the starter, I don't want to play either him or Barber. I know that Martin finally scored, but I don't want to do that. I think my number 1 pickup would be Wayne Gallman if you're looking for someone. Okay. And Now, I don't know if Justin, if you heard anything about this, Wayne Gallman, he played a season high 37 snaps. Well, I shouldn't say season high. He touched the ball career high 19 times this past week. Now, Orleans Darkwa was someone who was dealing with an illness throughout the week, but he did play, but he was outsnapped nearly 2-1 by Wayne Gallman. What do we think about this backfield going forward?
I don't really like investing in a backfield where I really don't trust that offense whatsoever. And we're talking about, you know, a semifinal matchup. I really don't see Gallman. I'm not that interested in picking him up or playing him this week. I think there's a chance, sort of like I just said about Howard, that your season's lost. You might as well start giving him more reps. Let the young guys play. I think that would make a lot of sense. As we know, coaches don't always do the wisest thing. Mm-hmm. So Gallman's actually a little bit further down for me. He's my third running back this week. I still like Peyton Barber a whole bunch, but I have Kerwin Williams as my number one, guys. I'm curious that you guys haven't mentioned him yet, so I'm starting to wonder a little bit here. But, you know, we don't know the severity of Adrian Peterson's neck injury. You know, AP even had like a social media post last week that seemed, it was very strange. It almost made me wonder, and I might be looking way too far into it, but it made me wonder whether his season could be over the way he was talking in it. And Williams has performed well in the lead role, you know, despite suffering, he had broken ribs a couple weeks ago, and it looked like he wasn't even going to get a chance to play with AP out. And he managed to rebound and get in the lineup and start. You know, he had 97 yards 2 weeks ago, had 73 yards this week, and even added a 15-yard reception, which isn't something that's normally in his arsenal. Normally, he's just a runner. And he hasn't found the end zone, so that hasn't really given him that huge fantasy day. But that could change against the Redskins this weekend. And not to pick on Washington again, like I just did, but Washington's defense definitely fallen apart a little bit down the stretch here. You know, they've allowed 5 rushing touchdowns in their last 5 games, and they're giving up the 6 most fantasy points to opposing running backs here. So I think it could be an interesting matchup for Williams, assuming Peterson's out. And I feel at this point, we haven't really gotten any clarity on that. So I'm willing to bet that he's going to be out again this week.
I'm with you. Yeah, I've got Kerwin Williams right behind Peyton Barber as my number 5 overall player and number 2 running back. And that's only because AP might come back. Now, if AP doesn't come back, Kerwin Williams would be number 1 overall on my list.
He'd probably be up my board. I guess I'm expecting Peterson to come back, but if he doesn't, it's still, I think he's still in that same territory, but he comes with a higher floor than maybe Barber and Gallman. So maybe Kerwin Williams would bump up the list if AP didn't play again. Now, my concern this week, though, is that Kerwin Williams isn't really a pass catcher. He's not known to do that. So the game script this week against the Redskins, I can't see it going very well for them with the way that the Cardinals defense has played on the road this year. They've been brutal, actually, the last 2 years on the road. They're allowing over a touchdown more on the road. So with the Redskins coming off the ugly, ugly game that they just had in LA, I do think they bounce back at home, and that would essentially limit Kerwin Williams's production. He might see 12 carries and finish with, like, you know, 35, 36 yards. And leave me feeling empty and hollow and knowing that I played Kerwin Williams. Hopefully, if you guys are in week 15, you don't have to rely on any of these guys, because seriously, you just don't want to.
Even Peyton Barber that you guys mentioned before, you know, I had Barber as my top pickup last week. You know, I thought that the coaching staff would be smart in that case, and I thought that they would give Barber another chance after the big game that he had the week before. He had 102 rushing yards, 41 receiving yards. But no, Martin came back. They threw him right back in the lineup, and they got the same result with him. They got an early touchdown from Martin, but 2.6 yards per carry. And once he fumbled in the second quarter, didn't see another touch the rest of the game. Barber finally got to take over at that point, and he delivered. He had 4.8 yards per carry, put up 58 yards, even caught a pass for 5 yards as well. So, you know, I know who I would start next week if I was the Bucs, and it definitely would be Barber. I think the way I look at them, I see Kerwin Williams. I haven't finished my projections yet for week 15, but I see Kerwin Williams close to that RB2 range in my mind, either a low end RB2 or a high end RB3. I still see Barber as an RB3 flex type, because I don't think that they're just going to completely discard everybody and give him the entirety of that workload. And the Falcons run defense has been playing better recently, so it's not a great matchup for Barber either. But I think he's a guy that he could show well down the stretch here, and he could even be their starting running back to start next season, because I don't think Doug Martin's going to be back with the Bucs next year.
You know, I think most playoff teams are probably locked in place right now with their starting lineups. So if you are in that situation, like, get rid of your fourth or fifth running back that you're just not going to use either the next 2 weeks, and go get James Conner, Charkandrick West. James Conner, If you were watching the game last night, Le'Veon Bell was centimeters away from having his season ended. If his foot was planted in that ground with the hit he took on his knee, he could have been out. His career could have been over. And James Conner sitting there ready for 20 carries next week, right? That could happen for week 16. There's a low chance, but there's a better chance he's actually going to help you win a championship than someone who's sitting at the end of your bench who's never going to play.
Yeah, I definitely co-signed that. And that's why I had James Conner actually as the running backs that I would take over Rod Smith, because I just feel like he's the higher upside play there. And honestly, I was concerned when Bell took that. His foot kind of was planted in the turf a little bit and it popped out. It didn't stay, but that was a bad hit. And we thought he was going to miss. But then once he got all the touches he did in the second half, I kind of moved past it. But there, knowing that that's a possibility, this team has locked up a playoff berth. I mean, honestly, it wouldn't shock me if they tried resting him in week 16 and 17. With how much they know he means to their success. So James Conner is a must add to your bench for sure.
Yeah, I totally agree. He's been one of the better handcuff pickups over the last few weeks for sure, even over the last couple months maybe when you look at it. And I think one thing interesting to note there for anybody in keeper leagues, I'm sure he's probably owned in most dynasty leagues. You know, when Bell turned down that big offer before the season, I really started to wonder, you know, it'd be strange to see them not bring him back. But if they don't, if they decide to go in a different direction, it's possible there's a situation where Conner could be the starting running back for the Steelers next year. So I've picked him up
exactly
in a lot of keeper leagues, just thrown him at the end of my bench on the off chance, like you guys said, that maybe an injury happens and I get to use him this year. Or maybe we see something happen that we don't expect in the offseason and he turns out to be the, you know, a decent asset moving forward.
Yep. Awesome advice.
Okay, guys, let's finish this off by talking about wide receivers. Then we'll hit on some players who are owned in a little bit more than 50% of leagues. My number one guy is Dede Westbrook. He got 8 targets again, as I mentioned with Blake Bortles. Great matchup. And Dede's playing good football. What do you think, Justin?
I really like Dede. He's my number two, though. He is my number two. But I mentioned him before when we were talking about Bortles. You know, he had 78 yards and 2 weeks ago. He's coming off his best game, that 5-catch, 81-yard, 1-touchdown performance. It was very, very impressive. He came in with a lot of confidence. He was talking a big game, and he's delivered. He's getting a lot of targets, you know, and like I said before, I was a little bit worried about Hearns coming back. There's no way that they are going to put Hearns in the lineup over Westbrook at this point. He is a dynamic player. He's very explosive. Something that offense needs, too. You know, going into this year, they really wanted to go run heavy, and that's fine, and it was successful early in the season. But there are going to be games where Bortles needs to open it up. And with Bortles playing as well as he's playing, and that seems very strange to say, like we said earlier, there's room here for a couple guys to be fantasy relevant. I still think Marquise Lee is the number one there, but I really like Westbrook as a pickup.
Agreed. I think that he's a great pickup, and he has a role bigger than I thought it would be. I mean, I felt like the Arizona 10 targets was kind of like an outlier and what would have been, you know, a very heavy targeted game because Patrick Peterson lining up with Marquise Lee. But we've seen him see 9 targets against Indy, 8 targets against Seattle. He's obviously here to stay. He's not going anywhere. Keelan Cole is the one who probably would have lost his role, but he even to Allen Hurns out of the slot. But even him, he's been playing better as of late, too. So why mess with what's working? Dede West. Westbrook has increased his yardage every single week, 35, 41, 78, then 81. So he's trending upwards. The only player I would consider probably picking up over him is Corey Coleman, but I don't think I would do that, is because Corey Coleman, with Josh Gordon in the lineup, he's not the number one option anymore. His matchup against Baltimore this week without Jimmy Smith, it's an upgraded matchup for sure. I don't know if it's a great matchup. And then you have at Chicago in week 16. Again, not a bad matchup, but not a great one. So I have no issue with saying that Westbrook is the number one addition, although I think Mike Wallace also deserves to be in the conversation with those three.
That's the guy I have number one right there, is Mike Wallace. And I think it's mostly just, you know, what we've seen recently from him as well. We've seen really big games, you know, 5 for 116 a couple weeks ago. You know, we had 3 for 72, obviously, this week. And he's getting Cleveland. And you would have thought, you know, Jason McCourty has been pretty good against number one receivers this year. But, you know, they just gave up 10 for 84 and 2 touchdowns to Devontae Adams, including, you know, the game winner in that game. And, you know, the week before, a couple of Chargers guys lit them up. And they were led by Keenan Allen, who had, you know, 10 receptions again for 105 and a touchdown. So I don't see him getting 10 catches. That's not really Mike Wallace's game. And as much as I don't really want to invest in that Ravens passing game. Like I said, when we were talking about Flacco earlier, I think Wallace is clearly Flacco's top target. And I think he's someone that you can get in your lineup as, you know, as a wide receiver three who has some upside. You know, he catches a deep ball or two in the game and that could really change things for you.
Yeah,
I've got him as my number three behind Coleman and Westbrook. So those are really the only three I would consider starting this week if you need a wide receiver.
Yeah, I agree. Anybody outside of that, you're looking at guys like Tyler Lockett or Tyrell Williams, and those guys are just big home run swings that you're just hoping they get that one deep ball and they find the end zone on that.
For sure.
Is there anyone else on your radar tags?
No, I mean, Jeremy Maclin has been playing so bad that Wallace has had to kind of step up in that offense. I watched Jeremy Maclin, and I was someone who was talking about playing him, that he was going to be a great play this year. I mean, he looked like crap in the game last night against the Steelers. Like, he just looked like he wasn't there mentally or physically. He just looked bad. So Mike Wallace has kind of become that number one target out of necessity. So definitely co-sign with that. Do you guys think that there's anything to Kendall Wright this week? We've seen his snap counts rise recently. We saw him have the biggest game of the year last week. Mitch Trubisky is being trusted more. They're going more three wide receiver sets. They're getting Tariq Cohen involved in the offense. Darius Slay is going to match up with Dontrell Inman. You know, Adam Shaheen, people are going to start to take notice of him a little bit. I mean, it's still a good matchup against Detroit, but Justin, what do you think about Kendall Wright? Is he, like, let's say that, you know, you had Nelson Agholor and you were starting him and you really have no one to back him up. Would you look to someone like Kendall Wright?
I would treat Wright kind of like I would treat Eric Ebron, which is, you know, had a big game last week, but I don't know that that's enough that I'm willing to put him in my lineup because of it. When you look at his totals before that, you know, he didn't break 25 yards in any of the three previous games. You know, he just really hasn't had those big games this year. And if I'm looking at my wide receiver three, I want a guy who could really blow up, who could really, you know, deliver that touchdown, deliver that huge game. And, you know, he did it once this year. It's mm-hmm. not even like those other guys we mentioned, the Locketts and, you know, the Tyrell Williams, where we've seen those guys at least do it a few times. You know, they're not very consistent, but they still do it, you know, every other week or every third week or something. You know, I don't really like that offense. I really don't love Trubisky at this point. So I wouldn't really want to invest in those guys. I'd have to be awfully desperate.
All right, guys, there's a few other players sitting out there in, you know, at least 55, 40% of leagues that I want to touch on. We've got Mike Davis for Seattle getting some carries and Jonathan Stewart, who just had a big week. If they were in this conversation, would they be your number one running back, Justin?
Mike Davis, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I did my bold prediction for you guys, and it was that I think Mike Davis is going to lead a lot of teams to fantasy titles, and that I think he's going to be top 10 back in the fantasy playoffs. You know, we've just seen it from him. When you watch him run, it almost gets me excited to talk about it. When you watch him run, the cuts he's making, the way he's running is so impressive. You know, and doing it on a team where not a lot of guys have had a lot of success this year. Chris Carson, obviously, early in the year. But Mike Davis is getting a lot of run for the Seahawks. And that's an explosive offense. You know, even going against a really tough defense last week in the Jaguars, you saw the explosiveness. Russell Wilson can help them overcome that. And their matchups the next 2 weeks are really, really nice. You know, they get the Rams this week, and the way to attack the Rams is through the run. They're not as good in their run defense. And then they get the Cowboys after that as well. So I think he's going to be really good in both of those games.
I tend to agree with you. Mike Davis was somebody I came around last week saying that I haven't trusted a Seattle running back all season. I didn't want any part of him. But Mike Davis is someone I bought into after watching him again. And again, these matchups that he's played, Philly and Jacksonville, are no joke. Those are two of the top run defenses in the NFL right now. So to see him finish, you know, as a top 24 running back, I think, in both games in standard leagues, that's impressive. And so, I mean, let's fast forward to this week. I think that Mike Davis could be finish as a top 12 running back. I know that might be a bold prediction, but I don't think it's bold at all considering Seattle, what they want to do. They're going to be at home against a Rams team that really, I don't think that the game matches up well for the Rams in Seattle. And I think that Mike Davis should see 15, 20 carries, and I'm going to rank him aggressively this week. I definitely love hearing Justin talking about Mike Davis because he has been extremely fun to watch run the ball.
All right, so let's throw Theo Riddick and Josh Doctson into the mix. If they're there with Mike Davis and Jonathan Stewart, is Mike Davis still your number one there, Justin?
Mike Davis is still my number one. I like what we're seeing from Riddick. You know, I really thought that Tion Green was going to have a big role in that game, and they really just used Riddick aggressively. And that's exciting to see. Obviously, in PPR leagues, he's a great weapon. I would have him above. We didn't really mention Jonathan Stewart before. Jonathan Stewart, I you know, even despite the big game, I would still keep him in that same range that he's normally in, which is, you know, an RB3, and you're really hoping for a touchdown. If you get a couple big runs, or you get the, you know, the odd game where he gets multiple scores, then you count yourself extremely lucky. But I wouldn't want to rely on him in the playoffs. But, you know, I understand that some people are in that situation where in your flex spot or even your RB2, if you've had some injuries, you might have to go with a guy like that.
Yeah, and Bobby, you mentioned Josh Doctson. Honestly, I think that Josh Doctson might be droppable at this point. And it's weird to say that because he's done well in some pretty tough matchups. But week 15 this week, he's going to play Patrick Peterson. You want no part of that. And then in week 16, he's going to play against Denver, a team that, regardless of how many passing touchdowns they've allowed, they haven't allowed much to wide receivers. So Josh Doctson, I mean, I think his upside in the final 2 weeks of the season is like a wide receiver, you know, maybe like 40 yards and a touchdown. That would be considered like the absolute ceiling for Josh Doctson over the next couple weeks. So I'd say he's borderline droppable.
Would you rather start someone like Will Fuller?
I would over Doctson, you're saying? Over Doctson specifically?
Yeah, over Doctson.
I probably would at this point. I think they're very similar players, and I'll probably have them projected pretty close. I think Tags hit it with Doctson, which is just in redraft leagues, when you look at his matchups this season, I really don't want any part of it. I still believe in him long term. Oh, yeah. Yep. I think coming into the season next year, I'm very excited that I own him on a couple dynasty teams. I think he's going to be a really good receiver. But this year, we've kind of just seen the basics from him, which is the basics from Josh Doctson are highlight reel catches, and we've seen that. But he just hasn't hit those high totals that make him a huge fantasy star. Hopefully, we'll see that in 2018 and moving forward.
I guess I would rather play Doctson just because I think he's got a better shot at a touchdown. As for Will Fuller, I just don't think that his skill set meshes with what they're trying to do on offense right now. I don't think they have the quarterback to get the ball downfield to him. He's never been a yardage guy. He's always been relying on touchdowns, and I don't think we could project TJ Yates or Tom Savage to throw for multiple touchdown passes. So if anybody scores, it's probably going to be Hopkins on a crazy highlight reel catch.
Tom Savage is not that's what playing, he does. By the way.
It's hard to see him play. And I know it's not a laughing matter, but either way, what I'm saying is that I do believe that Doctson has a better shot at is like a off the wall touchdown. Like he can always sky over someone because that's his best attribute is that he can score touchdowns. So
Will Fuller gets the Jags too. So that's kind of rough. I mean, the Jags have been susceptible to giving up big plays this year on a running and in the pass attack. And a lot of those haven't been caught for whatever reason, but I've seen Jalen Ramsey get beat 5 or 6 times this year. And it happened twice last game, right? Paul Richardson went for a long touchdown. Ty Lockett went for a long touchdown. So it does happen. There's a chance Fuller does get that long touchdown against the Jags, but I would be quicker to bet on Josh Doctson over Fuller this week.
Yeah.
It would have been so fun to see Deshaun Watson go up against this Jags defense. Unfortunately, we won't get a chance to.
Yeah, it'll be a matchup for years.
We did see it in week 1, and he got destroyed. Oh, right. He was worse than Tom Savage.
Right, but at this point in the season, you would think that he would have been rolling like he was before, and it would have been exciting to see that offense going full force against the Jags defense, which has obviously been so impressive this year.
Yeah.
There's two other players I want to ask about before we get out of here. One of them, Jordan Reed. If it's said that he's going to play this week, Justin, would you even trust him to start this week?
Oh, why do you got to ask me that, Bobby? Come on.
I'm asking because I need to know for myself.
I would guess that there's about a 99% chance he ends up on IR, I feel, at this point. I don't have a lot of confidence in him, but you'd have to take a look. You'd have to see the practice reports. You know, every week, the week starts by Jordan Reed isn't practicing, right? That's been every Monday now for the last while. So we'd have to see something where in practice, the beat writers are giving us some confidence where they're saying, you know what, he actually looks half decent in practice. And then maybe you roll him out there because the tight end is still used in that offense. Vernon Davis disappeared for a couple weeks. He caught a touchdown this week, though. And Jordan Reed has the talent to step in and put up 10 catches. It's there. But I do not have a lot of faith that he is going to get back on the field this season. So unless we see something, you know, drastically change, and like I said, the beat writers coming out or even the team coming out and telling us that he is healthy and he is going to start, I wouldn't want him in my lineup. And I wouldn't even roster him at this point, really. I feel like I would rather have, you know, I'd rather have even one of those upside running backs that we mentioned, like James Conner. I think they have a better chance at paying off at this point than Reed does.
Agree. I He's not worth a roster spot at this point. Even if he plays, I wouldn't want to play him. It's kind of like a Greg Olsen scenario where I've made it a rule with myself. If you have a pass catcher, an athletic pass catcher like these guys, or a wide receiver who is coming back from a foot injury or trying to make his way back or play through a foot injury, do not play them unless they show you something. We've learned it with Sammy Watkins. We've learned it with Jordan Reed. We've learned it with Greg Olsen. There's just too many examples of this happening. So yeah, I'd definitely advise staying away unless you're like desperate.
All right, guys. And last question here. We talked about the quarterbacks, you know, Blake Bortles, Joe Flacco, Jimmy G, Nick Foles. Jameis Winston's still out there in about 50% of leagues. And when he's been healthy, he's been playing good football. He happened again last week. His season has actually, believe it or not, almost been as good as Blake Bortles. So my question, Justin, if Jameis is available in your league, would you rather have him against Atlanta or Blake Bortles?
I would rather have Jameis. I still think that the ceiling there is higher for Jameis. You know, watching the game last week, I don't know if I totally agree that he's playing great football. I think the numbers in the end have been fine. But, you know, he still threw two picks. He's still making some very strange decisions. He's still missing guys, you know, seemingly easy passes. But he's got the weapons, and we know that the potential is there for him to have a big game. And I still do trust him more than I trust Blake Bortles, despite all the nice things we've said about Blake Bortles during this podcast.
Yeah, and ever since he ate his hand or whatever that thing was, they've lost three straight games. So,
oh God, that was weird.
One of the strangest things in a strange season, for sure.
Tags, where do you stand on this? Is Winston your number one over Bortles?
It's really close between the two. Honestly, I'd have a hard time deciding because Winston has looked like garbage. Honestly, and I'm a guy that thinks that Winston does have the tools to make it in this league, then he can be a franchise quarterback. But he has looked very, very bad. Again, the final numbers look okay from a fantasy standpoint, but he hasn't been very good. He's unwilling to take a sack, and that's a problem. The Falcons, it all depends, I think, on what you're looking for. If you're looking for a higher ceiling, I would say that... I would think that Bortles has a higher ceiling, but I would think that Jameis Winston has a higher floor simply because Jameis doesn't have a run game, so he's going to throw for some yardage, whereas Blake Bortles has Leonard Fournette behind him, you know, one of the better running backs in the NFL. So it's very possible that we see Bortles throw the ball, you know, 25 times. I don't know. It's just they're in the same territory where I would have a hard time choosing between the two.
And I would feel very upset about my team going into the week if I had to choose one of the two.
Yeah.
One interesting wrinkle there could be, by the time people listen to this podcast, I wouldn't even be shocked if Dirk Koetter wasn't the coach of the Buccaneers at that point. There is a chance that could happen at any moment here.
I don't know if that would be good or bad for Jameis.
Well, apparently they're not getting along, if you believe the initial report Sunday morning, even though they denied it after the game, obviously.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I know you guys were really worried about my cheese sticks and everything. I want to tell you that I was able to put it on mute while we're recording this podcast and eat my cheese sticks during it, so I don't have to throw it away. You guys don't have to worry about that anymore.
I'm glad we have that cleared up. I was losing sleep over it tonight if I didn't get the answer to that question.
I haven't had a cheese stick in forever, but I'm going to make sure that I pick some up this week now.
There you go, man. Yeah. All right. Well, guys, that's all we have for today's show. It is an ugly waiver wire, but congratulations on making it this far in the season. And Justin, thank you for joining us for the show.
Appreciate it as always, guys.
And I also want to say thanks to the sponsor of today's show, Leesa Mattress. You can find them, leesa.com/fantasypros, for $100 off your mattress order. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.